Party Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is hour number two here on a Football Friday. The Lombardi Line hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. We say what up to our friends on Samsung TV Plus for going ahead and tuning in here and seeing the visuals of our operation. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Palm, the VP of Operations here at the Circa Resort and Casino, and Mike Pritchard, VSiN NFL analyst, also a former first-round pick, played nearly a decade in the National Football League, also a national champion with the Colorado Buffaloes in the early 90s, hanging out with you guys here, breaking down the college and NFL slate. Coming up, though, in 15 minutes, Chad Brown, one of Pritch's old buddies in Colorado, played 15 years in the NFL. He will join us. We'll talk about the Buffs, and we'll talk about the Week 4 NFL slate. But, gentlemen, let's begin this hour number two with the marquee game in the NFL. And the marquee game, funny enough, is in the early window here this week, but that's between the Miami Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo, a 2.5-point favorite over at DraftKings, total sitting at 53.5. We were talking about this during the break. This is a tricky one. I don't have a bet on this game. I don't know how this is going to play out here, but it's two teams with Super Bowl aspirations in Western New York.
I don't have a bet on it either, Femi. I'm going to try to watch the game and figure out how good Miami is. They certainly have been able to do what they wanted to do offensively. Outside of stretches against New England, they did it in obviously against Denver and super productive against the Chargers. You talk about the San Francisco running game. You know, they run a little variation of it with more outside zone, right? Because they want to spread the defense out, because if anybody's in the middle in front of Tua, he's too small to throw over. So they're trying to clear his passing lane. So it'll be interesting. Can they go on the road? It's nice that they get to play this game in September or October, and not, it's been in snow and bad conditions the last couple of times they went up there. So it'll be interesting. I just think it'll be a good gauge. I don't have a strong opinion. Even if this game went to three, it wouldn't inspire a bet on Miami for me.
This is a teaser card leg for me with Miami. They are good. They are really good. They're one of the most consistent teams in the league right now, and they're evolving. You mentioned a running game. McDaniel used to be the run game coordinator at San Francisco. And last year you were waiting for, where's your running game with Miami? Now you got it. And you got it in heavy doses right now. So I think Buffalo defensively is interesting. You know, Von Miller's a week away from coming back, I believe, and that'll help them. But, you know, they played the Jets with Zach Wilson, not Aaron Rodgers. They played the Raiders with Garoppolo, who's trying to figure out this offense again. And they played the Commanders with Sam Howell, who's inconsistent. Now they're playing Tua.
MVP favorite right now.
Right. And I mean, the Miami Dolphins is a dog situation where I can use them as a teaser. That is right up my alley. So I like what Vic Fangio is doing defensively without some star power. And Buffalo, when you look at Josh Allen, he does have the choke gene. He really does. And they are more the same. You know, if you're Vic Fangio, okay, Buffalo, yeah, between the 20s, Josh, okay. But what is Vic Fangio's forte? I'm going to stop you in the red zone. I'm going to make things difficult for you in the red zone. You're going to kick field goals, especially with the offense that we have. So that's how I'm looking at the matchup. You know, I didn't really dive in to handicap it yet, but I just for my preferences, Miami on the teaser leg looks attractive.
I think the biggest thing for me in this game is will Josh Allen be patient? Because we know in these games that the total is telling you that we might see a shootout. We're sitting at 53.5. I think the weather looks like we're in the clear, so nothing crazy out there in Western New York. And the way that Vic Fangio sort of likes to play offense is like doing that too high look, forcing quarterbacks to take the check down, forcing them to stay patient. Will Josh Allen get that itch, that YOLO itch that he likes to scratch from time to time, to where he just says, you know what? I want a big play. I want to go big game hunting. Let's just throw the ball down the field. And sometimes he throws it into traffic, and that can lead to the turnovers that we've talked about. Like, that to me feels like a very big component of this game is, what is the patience of one Josh Allen? Because if he plays the way he played the last couple of weeks being patient, then I think Buffalo will have a lot of success. But if he plays like he did Monday night against the New York Jets in week one, when he was trying to force the ball and trying to be a hero and put the Superman cape on, then Buffalo might be in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah. I mean, just watching, you know, tape, you know, Washington had opportunities to score. Sam Howell just played a horrible football game. I mean, I don't expect Tua to, you know, fall on his butt in this game, right? I mean, I think you mentioned MVP. I mean, the way and how loose they're playing and how easy the game is for these guys, because you know they're running the football. I think Tua's going to put up a pretty good performance out there.
On December 19th, 2020, Buffalo went to Denver to play Vic Fangio's Broncos. I was the head coach, not the defensive coordinator.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They put up 48 points in the victory. Josh Allen threw for 359 yards, and they rushed for another 170 against Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there as a piece of information.
Yeah.
He's had success.
That Broncos team. 2020.
Yeah, fine. You're 5-9 after that game. Yeah.
I want to say
Buffalo. There was a reason why they hired Vic Fangio.
Buffalo, I believe, was laying 7 that day. Because I want to say I laid it with Buffalo.
You remember?
You got to remember the fun bets. But you just laid it and laughed. How can you not remember? Yeah. That was a fun one watching. That was kind of Buffalo's breakout performance as an offense there in Denver. But, Pritch, I want to ask you this, though, because I've been reading just about stuff about this Kyle Shanahan offense that Mike McDaniel runs, and people have started making the point that there could be something to the Shanahan offense in year two, because we saw the Atlanta Falcons when Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator there. Year one, they showed some signs, but it was like, okay, they're not quite there. Then year two was the year that Matt Ryan won MVP. They go to the Super Bowl, ultimately give up the 28-3 lead, but they have a lot of success offensively. That's the year that got Kyle Shanahan his job in San Francisco. But then also in this scheme, year two for the Rams, 2017, McVay takes over, win the division, but they have some warts. Year two, they go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Is this kind of history repeating itself here with year two McDaniel, the Shanahan offense, implementing it with Tua and the weapons they have down there in Miami, make the playoffs the first year, but now this year it really pops in there where it looks like they're revolutionizing offensive football.
Yeah, I mean, go back to Mike Shanahan with Denver, you know, year two was the year that they really took off with the offense. Year one, you kind of filling through. I'll never forget this quote. John Elway in a huddle. We got Mike Shanahan's offense. It's like, man, this game is easy with this offense. I'll never forget that as long as I live. That was from John Elway, who had been in the league over a decade at the time, MVP and all this. This game is easy now with this offense. You know, you make things look the same to a defense, but it's different. If you think about the wide zone concept with San Francisco and what they do, the running back has three options, and he's never wrong. You can burst it on the outside. You can bend it back if the defense over pursues, or you can just bang it up in there and get 4 or 5 yards. Don't do anything else. You know, you might hit your head on a goalpost, though, if you read it right. And McCaffrey is reading it right. Debo is reading it right. Everybody is reading it right, whoever runs the football. With this offense, Miami's doing the same thing now with the wide zone scheme. It is so hard to defend because it looks so much similar to similar things from a defense. And then your play action off of it. It's simplified, but it's easy, especially if you buy into it and if you can execute.
Yeah. You want to say something?
Well, I was interesting because you're talking about Elway and the comedy made in a huddle, and when I was on with Amal and Patrick on Sharp Money on Wednesday, Patrick asked me who was the best quarterback of my lifetime, and I said Montana. Mm. And it's not really a Notre Dame bias because I didn't, you know, I watched him at San Francisco. I was young when he was at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
But they both said they thought John Elway was the best quarterback of their lifetime. And I made the argument until Shanahan's zone blocking and Terrell Davis, he didn't win anything.
Right.
Right.
And they said, well, what about Walsh? And, you know, and then the argument went down both. But it's interesting that you brought that up, how simple and easy the game was once.
Yeah, I mean, the quote from a legend at that time, you know, San Francisco, when they were on top, they ran the ball too, all right, and very, very well.
Sure whether they did.
Roger Craig
yep. had Rathman.
Yep.
And that was Amal's argument. He had Sammy Winder. You had right.
think about Ricky Waters too, though.
Yeah, Ricky Waters.
You had a true halfback, and if you go back to Green Bay days, I'm a historian when it comes to football. Go back to with Paul Hornung, he was a halfback, right? Jim Taylor was a fullback running back, but if you have a halfback, then the halfbacks are so hard to cover because you're wrong defensively when you're trying to match up because you think it's 21 personnel, 2 running backs, and a tight end, all that, but it's really, you know, another wide receiver out there, and you got a mismatch. So if you don't have the athletes on the other side of the ball, we can get to so much in our offense because of the halfback aspect of it. And that's what makes this intriguing. Now, Mike Shanahan took it to a different level with 11 personnel with three wide receivers, right? But you have a tight end like Shannon Sharp. It's different. George Kittle. It's the same model. And it works. And you know, why try to change it? And I think Mike McDaniel, who was a ball boy with the Denver Broncos and all this, he has really taken it to the next level out there in Miami.
It was a heartfelt soliloquy from a halfback.
That's right. A star running back, star receiver. That's how we get things done. But I can't wait to see this game, though.
Yeah.
The Dolphins and the Bills. Like, honestly, if I had to bet it, I think I'd just take Miami money line. I would play the extreme outcome of maybe this team is just so far and away the team of the season to where I'm not saying that they're going to the Super Bowl, but maybe they're the team of the regular season to where that maybe it could be valuable to take them a money line on a coin flip.
You like these awards markets. Are you with Michael that Tyreek Hill's the MVP of the NFL?
I don't think they're going to vote for him to win MVP.
Stormy called it a St. Jude bet yesterday, and he got all incensed. He goes, well, then just call it the quarterback award, Stormy.
We kind of do, don't we? It is a quarterback
award. I think it's his Pro Football Focus argument. He's not top 10 that's leading him into the MVP discussion.
Yes. No, I would agree with Stormy on that. I think offensive player of the year, Tyreek Hill, he's among the favorites. It's him and McCaffrey who are the co-favorites, who I think is right. Those guys are putting up crazy numbers here. But MVP, I would be pretty damn surprised if Tyreek Hill wins MVP. Not expecting that one. But we are expecting a good game in Western New York. Dolphins at the Bills. We're also expecting some expert analysis coming up next. Chad Brown, former NFL player, played nearly 15 years in the league. He will join us next to break down the college and NFL slate here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Worlds are colliding. We've got a subscription contest going between the shows here at VSiN, and we need your help to win. Up for grabs is a $1,000 voucher at Circa Sportsbooks to be used on a Super Bowl futures ticket. To sweeten the deal for you, you'll save 40% when you sign up on our football season special and use promo code Lombardi. Bragging rights and a $1,000 futures ticket is on the line. Make this football season your best ever and help us do the same. Save 50% off our football season special today when you use promo code Lombardi. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line hanging out on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard here on a Football Friday. And joining us now is a gentleman who is very familiar with our buddy Mike Pritch here and also went ahead and played 15 years in the NFL. It's the one and only Chad Brown joining us here on the Lombardi Line. Chad, we appreciate you taking the time here this morning. And I want to start off, we'll get to the Colorado Buffaloes in a little bit. I know your buddy Pritch will ask you about that one. But I do want to start off in the NFL with a team that you used to play for, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right now, the Steelers are taking on the Houston Texans later on this weekend. Steelers are 2.5-point favorites, total 42.5. Are you liking what you're seeing through 3 weeks here with the black and gold here as they go ahead and have a tricky game on deck here in Houston?
I think you got to like, outside of that 49ers open day performance, what the defense is doing. But Kenny Pickett, he's still a work in progress. Your growth as a player, typically your biggest leap becomes between your first and your second year. That's almost for every player, except the quarterback position. I think you make a personal leap in your performance as a quarterback, but defensive coordinators in your division, in your conference, and around the NFL spend time in the offseason getting the book on you. So some of the things that plagued Kenny Pickett in college when he was at Pitt, pressure up the middle, he still tries to escape out the back of the pocket, he bails too quickly, those things are still showing up for him, so that he has to find a way to answer in the chess match between himself and defensive coordinators around the league. All right, you played decently as a rookie. We studied your tape. We're now giving you some things. Now you've got to grow to the next level as a player to beat these things we're bringing you. So I think it's going to be a while before Kenny Pickett gets all this figured out. So the Steelers will, I think, you know, as credit to Mike Tomlin, not have a losing season, but Kenny Pickett's still a work in progress, and I'm not sure when he's going to get it.
Yeah, I hear you, Chad, on that one. I mean, what's interesting, too, is the makeup of teams. And I know you cover the Broncos, and I'm just curious from your vantage point in terms of what's happening out there in Denver. And certainly, you know, we're looking to bet Denver, I think, or people are looking to back Denver. What's the psyche of this team? Because you're hearing from players that we're a bunch of losers. Sean Payton looks like he doesn't have credibility yet with the players in that locker room. I mean, it seems like it's in total disarray, but yet they are favorites against the Bears, who are miserable themselves. And so I just want to get your thoughts on Broncos in present day right now.
All right, so for the Broncos, Pritch, it's interesting because there's kind of a couple different messages coming out from Broncos headquarters. You know, they're trying to say the right things. This is a galvanizing moment. We've got confidence in Vance Joseph, and Vance Joseph has confidence in us. This is Justin Simmons and Patrick Surtain speaking yesterday. Yet at the same time, you know, they're acknowledging that, you know, all their friends and the family have been texting and calling them and asking if they're okay. Yes, when you get put a 70 burger put on you in the NFL, people got to check on you like you lost a family member. Like, you know, there's been a death in the family. So they're battling a couple of things. They're battling the blow to the confidence and to the ego of that loss last week. You know, they're battling the apathy of the fan base here in Denver after so many losing seasons since Peyton Manning's been under center. But regards to this game against Chicago, if you're going to look at, you know, the most critical position on the field, Russell Wilson certainly was a disappointment last year. This year, he does not appear to be the issue that is plaguing the Broncos, and he's playing at a higher level than Justin Fields. You know, Justin Fields, there was a couple of glimpses of hope last year. I think anybody who had that hope this year, their hopes have probably been dashed by the way he's played. I expect a heavy dose of the run game for Chicago to try to limit what Justin Fields does in the passing game and try to shorten this game against the Broncos. But in the end, if you're going to measure the two quarterbacks, which is generally a pretty good marker of success for an individual team, Russell Wilson is playing at a higher level than Justin Fields is. So unless the Broncos defense has a back-to-back awful performance defensively, I see the Broncos find a way to get their first victory of the season.
We're speaking with Chad Brown here, college football and NFL analyst, played 15 years in the NFL, also a two-time Pro Bowler, three-time Pro Bowler, I should say, two-time All-Pro, and played for the Colorado Buffaloes, which we will stay in the state of Colorado here, Chad, and ask you about the Colorado Buffaloes, who are hosting USC on Saturday. Big noon kickoff is there. Once again, it's a spectacle with the Buffs now taking on the USC Trojans. Well, they're 21.5-point underdogs last week, a little rough against the Oregon Ducks in Eugene. Do you think Colorado can bounce back and keep this game more competitive than what we saw last week?
This is a difficult one. This is a very, very difficult one. I think everyone saw what happened in Oregon, which was really, you know, there was a peak at what was going to happen in that CSU game. CSU was able to run the ball against the Buffs. They were a majority of that game. They were the better offense and defensive line against the Buffaloes. It took a historic effort from Shedeur Sanders to pull that game out against CSU out. Now they go and play, they play Oregon, and now the difference in talent up front is remarkably clear. And it's clear that Oregon is far better. USC is also going to be better. Now, I got to give Coach Prime and his coaching staff a lot of credit. They have out-coached the opposite sideline coaching staff really three out of the last four games outside of Oregon. Now, will that be the case against USC and Lincoln Riley? It seems like an uphill climb. But if they do a pretty good job, I could see playing the under on this one, possibly. It's just such an unknown. How do these guys who were embarrassed against Oregon, the offensive and defensive lines, the interior for the Buffaloes, how do they respond after a week of coaching, and can they get those mistakes cleaned up enough in time to put together a decent performance against USC? Caleb Williams, the quarterback for USC, the Heisman Trophy winner, he's remarkable. Shedeur Sanders is very good. Caleb Williams is actually remarkable. So I got USC definitely with the win, but whether the Buffs can cover remains to be seen.
Chad, I want to go back to the NFL and a big matchup in the AFC North between Baltimore and the Browns. Obviously, concerns about Deshaun Watson playing on Sunday. But I want to ask you about this Browns defense, who's been incredibly good through three games. What Jim Schwartz has done coming in here with all this talent. You played for some great defensive coordinators, including Dick LeBeau. How good is this Browns defense this year?
This Browns defense is super, super legit. That wide nine system, that's what they run out in San Francisco. So Jim Schwartz was, you know, early adapter of this system a few years back. It allows your edge guys and your defensive line to just get off and get upfield. I did a coaching internship in San Francisco when Robert Saleh was the DC, D'Amico Ryans was the linebacker coach. And that defensive line group in San Francisco really propels that defense forward, and similar to what they're doing right now in Cleveland. So that wide nine system attacks the offense. It cuts off the edges. It allows those defensive linemen to get penetration into the backfield, and it sets up those linebackers to clean things up and be successful. And when that defensive line is getting off the rock like that, it also makes it life a little bit easier for those defensive backs. So the Ravens will have their work cut out for them, and it's going to take a performance, a vintage-style performance from Lamar Jackson, where he makes a few incredible plays with his legs, I think, for them to get out this one with a win.
You know, Chad, I just want to build on that, too, because you know, when you look at the National Football League now, and it's so much 4-2-5, so much nickel defenses, and teams are starting to run the football. They feel like they got mismatches, whether it's personnel or formations. As a defensive player, how difficult is it now to stop the run? I mean, you're mentioning all these different schemes. I mean, are you noticing defenses trying to catch up and trying to stop the run now?
I think defensive coordinators are trying to figure out the best way to handle the run game. Obviously, the NFL, you know, has been talked about as a passing league, but it's always cyclical.
Yeah.
You know, there have been years where big receivers were the thing, and then there were small receivers. And then, you know, it always goes in cycles. The Patriots had Aaron Hernandez and Gronk, and they went with the double tight end thing and forced people to defend the possible run possibilities with the two tight ends on the field. Then they went and threw the ball on them. So there's always going to be this cyclical effect going on. And now with the – I think it's less to do with the defensive coordinators and the X's and O's of the defense and more to do with the lack of padded work during training camp. To defend the run, you got to get your run fits. You got to do physical 9-on-7 practice, and you've got to work on your run stits. And coaches are so afraid of guys getting hurt now, they don't focus on that the way that they used to. And the way college football is played and the way they practice, these guys come into the NFL less with a lesser ability to defend the run just because of the changes in college football. But also the NFL schedule, the NFL rules, the OTAs, the CBA, all those kind of things don't allow these guys – the individuals to become great run defenders. So that's why we've seen offenses turn more to this, because they're recognizing that deficiency on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah. Football is cyclical, and the run game is now back in vogue, seeing the teams that are undefeated right now run the ball pretty well. He is Chad Brown, former two-time All-Pro, three-time Pro Bowler, played 15 years in the NFL, NFL and college football analyst. Chad, we appreciate the time as always. Be well.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
Thank you.
It's a lot of what we're talking about in the first hour. These teams that run the ball have a big advantage, and we're seeing it so far through 3 weeks in the NFL season. We'll go back to college football and take a look at the futures market, as well as some other marquee matchups here on the other side. It's the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back with another week of football, and DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping us in on the NFL action with great offers every single game day. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Throw five down on any of this week's matchups to walk away an instant winner. It'll be epic. Football's more fun when you're in on the action, so download the app now and sign up with code VEGAS. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. With code VEGAS, the crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network, hanging out with you guys. Mike Pritchard on the far end over there. Mike Palm right here in the middle. Femi Bebefe right here on the left side of your screen. Thank you to Chad Brown, who joined us in the last segment. Former NFL player, played 15 years in the league, two-time All-Pro, three-time Pro Bowler. Pretty good, and he had some pretty good insights as well into the NFL and college football. But let's carry on back to our college football conversation, because we do have a big game over in Ole Miss. LSU's taking on Ole Miss. Right now, the Tigers, 2.5-point road favorites. So a tricky game perhaps here for the LSU Tigers, who are coming off of a 3 straight victories, total sitting at 67.5. I know this is a game that you have a play on here, Mike Palm, and I kind of have a play on it as well.
I laid the 2.5. That's also my best bet to reveal when I come on with humans later tonight in the Friday night football contest. Look, I think LSU is more talented on the offensive side of the football than Alabama. And I thought Alabama was very efficient last week against Ole Miss. I actually was a little bit surprised that they won that game as easily as they did. And, of course, you know, Lane ran his mouth all week, and now Nick's running his mouth about, you know, it's going to be a much tougher matchup against Mississippi State, a physical team. Physical team like that. So they have fun in the media. But I think LSU is much more explosive offensively. Your Heisman guy's going to be able to throw the ball here. I think this is a tough matchup for Ole Miss, even though it's a 3 o'clock Pacific start, an odd start time, 6 o'clock Eastern. I like LSU by more than a touchdown in this game.
Okay, Pritch. Close game last week against Arkansas, I believe.
Didn't cover.
Because I haven't, I mean, outside that first game against Florida State, they really haven't been tracking LSU. They were a favorite going into the year, a surprise favorite perhaps, to make a run. Are they putting it together, though? I mean, even though with the close game last week, because Ole Miss is interesting to me. Now, I mean, I would agree with you in terms of laying it with LSU, better quarterback situation, especially what Ole Miss saw against Bama. But I was curious about Ole Miss at home, though, against LSU, or LSU on the road more so.
I think it's a letdown spot coming out of Tuscaloosa, too, with all that hype. And you were less than a touchdown dog, and you only scored one touchdown against Alabama. I thought LSU was very impressive against Mississippi State. I mean, if we're talking about their season. And remember, they led that game at halftime against Florida State, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Florida State, things kind of went downhill, and they couldn't get it corrected. And we see Florida State still undefeated, top five team, and probably going to run out the table in the ACC and has a good shot to be in the playoff, I think.
Is there an argument to be made that LSU is the best team in the SEC?
Yes.
Okay.
You're going to come down to LSU and Alabama in the West and obviously Georgia in the East. I still don't know if we've seen enough of Georgia. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They were kind of sluggish for a half against South Carolina, looked much better in the second half. Now they get Auburn, which is another game we might talk about, that's the first bad pick I made in that contest. I took Auburn in the 8 at A&M. God, they cannot throw the football at all. I thought Hugh Freeze would have some more semblance of an offense, and now they have to play Georgia. I know it's a Jordanaire, but they're going to be hard-pressed to move the ball against Georgia. So I know Dustin Sweetelson, who's a Mall's producer. Mall Shaw stopped by on the break. Mm-hmm. Sharp Money that follows this show on VSiN. He took LSU at 4-1 this week to win the SEC.
Okay. Based on what we've seen, like Georgia, we haven't seen a ton. I haven't watched a lot of Georgia because a lot of their games have been big spread games against lesser than opponents. But they don't look like as dominant as they looked over the past couple years. And with that, like you mentioned it here, and I'll tell the people that I went ahead and bet on Jaden Daniels to win the Heisman Trophy behind us right here, hanging 30-1. So I was like, let me get a piece of that, add to the portfolio. So we have Bo Nix. That was our bet last week to win the Heisman. And Bo Nix's price went from that 25-1 at DraftKings to now 10-1 at DraftKings. I'll let you guys read into that one. But Jaden Daniels is the bet for me here at 30-1. And this is with my Heisman bets, I'm kind of sort of letting the market kind of dictate where we go with this one. Last week, Bo Nix going up against Colorado, high total in the 70s. This week, Jaden Daniels against Mississippi, another high total, 67.5. I think a lot of points will be expected. Daniels is actually fifth in the nation in passing. So he's an efficient passer. He also can give you stuff on the ground game as well. I think this LSU team is college football playoff good. Mm-hmm. And if he leads them to the CFP, I think he'll be in the mix there definitely. As his price has also moved from 22-1 to 18-1 after last
week. More competitive conference, SEC or the Pac-12?
I think the Pac-12 is the best conference in the country. Mm. My opinion.
What's defined competitive? Teams are closest together?
Yeah, I mean, you think about the middle of the pack teams and the Pac-12.
Well, they got 7, 8, 9, 10, Washington State. I mean, it's unbelievable,
But what have we heard from the SEC? Oh, you got to run the gauntlet.
Yeah.
And we always heard that, right?
Yeah.
And
so here's no gauntlet out there.
There's no gauntlet. There never has been.
Nope.
There's been three teams. And one of them's on a rotation. That's LSU. Yeah. There's been two teams. Yeah. But they always hype themselves up at the gauntlet because, okay, you do have Ole Miss. You do have Missouri, who's ranked, right? Then you have Auburn, and then you get into Alabama and Florida looking at LSU. For Femi's Heisman Trophy bet, though, like the hype of the gauntlet of the SEC versus the hype And Bodacious. They're calling Bodacious now, right?
Bodacious.
Out
the
there.
Campaign's underway.
Sure, sure. Out there in the Pac-12.
He looks sick. I know.
They always do this. They put all this money into it. They had, what, Arrington on the
side? Joey Arrington's out there entire
they
square.
Did. They did. They did.
That was Bo Nix.
Yeah.
Bodacious. They,
I know, right? You never heard you do that?
They have the t-shirts that are out there. Yeah. Dan Lanning was wearing one, I believe, on Sunday or Monday.
I know. Here we go. Another lightning rod.
He loves the microphone, doesn't he?
Oh, yes.
He definitely does. The Heisman market right now, Michael Penix Jr. of the Washington Huskies, who I love. Husky
do you agree
fan.
With that, that he should be favored over Caleb?
No, I don't think
I don't,
so.
I don't agree with that, even though his numbers right now are better are better than what Burrow had that national championship. Yeah. Yeah. Incredibly efficient how good they've been so far.
Which and this market, I think, is very reactionary to what we've seen thus far, but I feel like the Heisman market should be more so projecting what we're going to see because the Heisman, yeah, people have their opinions right now, but the voting's not decided until December. Like, what is this going to look like when we're 4 or 5 games into conference play? And the Pac-12, maybe, the passes has a propensity to beat up on themselves. Like, Washington has a massive game against Oregon coming up next weekend in Seattle. As a Husky fan, I'm not confident based on what I've seen from the Husky defense. The offense can go score for score, but I think it's going to be a coin flip game there. Big game in the Heisman market, clearly. Yeah. But I do think Washington is a good team. I don't know if they're CFP good, though. I still have questions in that regard. With that said, they are going to be in Tucson tomorrow night, a little Pac-12 after dark, 18.5-point favorites, total 66. I know this is a game that you were interested in.
Well, because I think the Arizona quarterback's going to be out, right? DeLoria? And I think that they will struggle. He creates all their offense. And so I take a hard look at Washington. I know in the series history, they have not done well laying points on the road in double digits, and especially Arizona, in Tucson, it's been bad for them. It's been a house of nightmares for them, like Soldier Field is for Kirk Cousins. But I lean Washington here just because I think Arizona will not put up that many points without the quarterback. That quarterback creates with his legs and his arm.
Right, and the quarterback makes all the difference in the world in college football from a playmaking standpoint, right? And that's a tremendous drop-off not to have that guy out there. And, you know, Washington, for whatever they are right now, they are explosive offensively.
Yeah.
Now what's the number now? Is it 21?
Is it 18?
No, it's 18. It's 18. Yeah, I mean, Washington. I would say that with Washington.
I've seen too many struggles in the state of Arizona. Tucson's been Tempe. They haven't won in Tempe since like 2001. Like that state.
They go down there and they can't score. They throw 4 interceptions. It's strange.
Weird stuff happens. So as a Husky fan, I mean, I think they're going to win the game, but I think it's going to be a little nerve wracking. I'm hoping that they cover though for your bet. At least hopefully it's a no sweater and we don't have to stay up until 11 o'clock to watch it. Michigan and Nebraska, another game I know you have to play on in Lincoln. The Wolverines 18-point favorites with a total of 39.5. So big spread, low total. What do you think in this game with Michigan, who might be the best team in the country?
I ended up laying 17. I was torn between under 39. I don't know that Nebraska, like I said last week, Iowa, I didn't think Iowa could get to 10 against Penn State. Yeah. I don't know at home that Nebraska can get to 10 against Michigan. And Michigan, they have these long drives. They limit possession. These are 9 and 10 possession games with Michigan. I mean, this game is very easily a 24, 28, 31 to 7, 9, 10 type of game. I laid the 17 here. And I took the 24 in a hook last week with Rutgers, and I needed every inch of it, even though the game was 7-7 with the minute left in the first half.
Yeah, you know, Nebraska, they don't have a quarterback.
He was bad at Georgia Tech.
Right. And he's banged up, too. But, I mean, even the other guy that they had in there, I think he's banged up, too. So the offense, they're sophisticated defensively, but not sophisticated to slow down Michigan. All right? I mean, Harbaugh back and Michigan, they're trying to rev it up. I think they destroy Nebraska.
Who's the best team in the country?
Ooh, that's a great question.
My answer is I don't know yet.
I don't know either.
I don't know yet.
Yeah, which I love that about college football. Yeah. I love that.
Usually it's just, we already know. Yeah. But the parody might be the story of this college football season, which would make for a hell of a college football season. All right, we'll wrap up the show on the other side. Running down the NFL board, giving our final thoughts here on the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abefefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, get this, guys. The NHL season is almost here, and our hockey betting experts are ready for all the action. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber and get our all-new NHL betting guide featuring previews for all 32 teams, futures bets, award picks, and season-long props, first period betting strategies, Steve Mackinnon's power ratings, plus best bets articles 5 days a week once the season starts. This guide is a must-have with key insights and data for both avid hockey bettors and those new to the sport. Give yourself an edge this season and get the VSiN NHL betting guide by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber at VSiN.com/subscribe. I was searching through my guide last night, and I saw preseason hockey. Or they're playing it already.
Oh, yeah. The Knights, Kings, a dirty hit on Stone the other night. It was
already have storyline.
Did you see Johnny Lazarus? He was that wrote the guide. He's our new hockey expert. He was on with Mitch and Paul yesterday. Nice. Had a nice hit from New York City. So there look forward to delving into the guide this year.
Oh, yeah. No, the Golden Knights will see if they can repeat.
He predicted the Cup will return to Canada. He said it's either the Maple Leafs or the Oilers. So
it's been a while.
93. Yeah,
it's
been a minute. It's been since 93. It's been a minute. Yeah, 93.
Yeah. Well, the Cup is hanging out here in Las Vegas. Come get it. This is the Lombardi Line hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network here. Femi Benfe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard. Let's go down some of these NFL games that we have yet to hit here. And I want to start down in Big D Jerry World, where it's Ezekiel Elliott's return to AT&T Stadium. Patriots taking on the Cowboys. Cowboys 6.5-point favorites, total 43.5. We discussed Dallas's run defense woes earlier in the first hour. Do you think that they creep up once again here against a solid running team here in the New England Patriots?
Well, they ran the ball against the Jets, but the first few weeks they were not able to run the football just because the line wasn't run blocking very well. Yeah. I'll tell you, I haven't bet with my own money this game, but this is going to be one of my plays in Newman's contest. Mm-hmm. I took the 6.5 here. I think this is going to be a close game. I think Cowboys are still trying to find themselves. I think, obviously, the Patriots are much more competent offensively than the Jets were. And, you know, let's be real. The Jets' defense, while we thought after week one with Buffalo and they won that game, this is a top five, top six, they haven't really performed as a top 10 defense yet. I think that Belichick will be able to run the ball here. I think he'll be able to control the game. Dak's going to have to make plays in the passing game, and we'll see if he can. But I think this is a one-possession game, but probably a field goal game. So I took 6.5.
Yeah, I look at it as a possession game, too. I mean, defensively, New England is everything you would like on a matchup like this when Dallas is still trying to figure it out offensively. You know, offensive line issues a little bit in terms of injuries or inconsistent play for the Cowboys. But then the biggest question mark is Dak Prescott and his ability to be on the same page with McCarthy. You know, is that going to happen? You know, no run in the preseason. What are we seeing with teams with new offenses or coordinator situations or play caller situations? They stumble at times. They're not consistent. Defensively, you know, Dallas, they'll buckle up the chin strap and try to stop the run, right?
Yeah.
I like the defense situation in this game. The matchup, and certainly that favors the points, taking the points here with New England.
I actually think this sets up to be a perfect in-game betting sort of game because if New England controls the game and controls the tempo like you think they will, I think that you could fire in maybe some potential New England money line bets there in-game if they're still an underdog. But if Dallas jumps on them, because of New England's inability to create explosive plays, if Dallas jumps on them, I think that this is Cowboys' runaway victory here. Like, this sort of like whoever's able to kind of grab control of the game early, I think can actually go ahead and dictate the game throughout the course of this whole fourth quarter. And then maybe it's Patriots' money line or it's you lay 9.5, 10.5 with the Dallas Cowboys. Because if Mac Jones is behind that offensive line having to go ahead and block and he's down multiple scores in the second half, I don't think New England has the horses to get back into a football game.
It's interesting. I've felt for a long time Dallas is a good front-running team.
They are.
With the lead, they can run the ball and then play complementary to their defense. Mm-hmm. You saw last week they get down two scores and they could never generate. Well, they could never get enough stops.
Yep. Yeah.
But they could never generate to get back into that game to get it to be a one-possession game even. So that's an interesting take on an in-game scenario.
Yeah, in-game it. And I'll just sweat it as a Cowboys fan. Hopefully it goes well. Bengals at the Titans. This one, I feel like these teams play every single year. The Bengals right now, 2.5-point road favorites, total 41. Joe Burrow didn't aggravate the calf Monday night. Sounds like it should be better than what we last saw. But are you confident enough in the calf to lay 2.5 on the road?
I'm not. I stayed away. I looked at this game for a long time too, Pritch.
Yeah.
And I decided to pass on it. It's kind of a spot where Vrabel will sneak up and beat you in a game like this. But after that performance, I mean, they just got manhandled. This, we talked about that game when you said crown, you're going to crown him. You know, it's going to be a blue collar game.
I thought it was going to be a fist fight.
But they physically dominated Tennessee. And Tennessee's not very good in the secondary. Mm-mm. So that's where I feel Burrow can take advantage of them. But I want to lay it when it's less than a field goal, but I haven't done it.
I'm going to lay it because I'm looking for Cincinnati to finally explode. I believe it's smoke and mirrors, David Copperfield time in Tennessee. I mean, think about it. The makeup of this team. I mean, Tannehill, rumors or no rumors, right? Mm-hmm. But they've drafted quarterback the last couple of years. They're not explosive from a wide receiver standpoint. Derrick Henry is not explosive anymore as a running back. The offensive line is nowhere where it used to be when they were an AFC number one seed. At that point. And then defensively, too, banged up all over the place. So I thought they were going to have a fist fight against Cleveland. That didn't show up. You know, at home, it could be different. But Cincinnati plays well on the road. They have over the last few years. And I think it's time for them to kind of rev up that offense now.
I intertwine these two teams because it's that game when they were the one seed and Tannehill threw the three interceptions. Oh, mm-hmm. After they beat the Raiders in that kind of crazy wild card game with the whistle out of bounds and all this and that, and the Raiders had the drive at the end of the game, this has really propelled Cincinnati into the AFC royalty. Let's face it. Yep. The last few years, it's Chiefs and Cincinnati. Those are clearly the two best teams, and it was off that game that they lost as a number one seed at home, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We talked about remembering the Broncos-Bills game from 2020. That is this. I remember laying 2.5 with the Titans in the game closing four and Tannehill throwing three interceptions. That is one I definitely remember. We try not to, but hey, what can you do? Let's keep it moving, though, here with the Commanders and the Eagles. Mm. Right now, Philadelphia is a 9-point favorite, total sitting at 43 here. Are the Eagles back? Because that's what the market's indicating here.
Well, I don't know if they put a complete game together. They played awfully well in Tampa, but I think that game took a lot of that was hot and humid on Monday night coming off a short week. And they've had kind of a tough schedule here, the Eagles. I think this team's a little nicked and tired. And remember, it was the Commanders that gave them the first loss last year on Monday night. I think it's a safe survivor play if you want to look at it. But I actually like the Commanders with 8.5 in this game.
Whew, I'm staying away from it, but it is a safe survivor play. I mean, you got to map it out like I've done. Christmas Day comes into mind, really, with the Eagles. But there's some other options, certainly, at that point. But, you know, the Eagles, the reason why I didn't bet them last week was because I had questions whether they're going to be consistent. Like, they haven't really turned the corner yet. Now, it kind of feels like they have. They're figuring out two coordinators now, right, offensive and defensively. And that I think that has settled in. And, you know, in that game against Tampa, they started to look comfortable that way, certainly communication and execution. So it's a good football team. I think Sam Howell is inconsistent. They need to run the ball more. Eric needs a couple more running plays if they can. But then what's baffling to me about Washington is the fact that Del Rio does not get any heat on that defense.
Guy's Teflon.
He is. He is. I mean, how many first rounders do they have in that defensive front?
Four.
Right. And it's like they underachieve each and every week. And so it's like, I know why he's protected. He's Teflon because him and Rivera are boys, right? And I get that. Those linebackers stick together. But his defenses, man. And can he come up with anything? And I know what you said about them beating the Eagles, but if the Eagles are executing, that's going to be a tough road for Washington.
Yeah, I bet Washington in this game. The market says get out of here because now we're seeing 9.5 where we're sitting at circa totals at 9. The consensus is at 9 here, but I bet plus 8.5. And call me crazy. I also sprinkled a little bit on the money line. I sprinkled a little bit on the money line here. I still think there are concerns with Philadelphia.
Really? Which one? Where are they at?
Offensively.
Offensively?
With the quarterback? I think the quarterback is fine. I think the OC is a problem. Brian Johnson, the coordinator. Yeah. I don't like what they're doing. Yeah. And in the high leverage spots, like they haven't been that good. I mean, we saw the 4th-and-2 against Tampa Bay. They try to run that read option. The Buccaneers go ahead and stop it. And yeah, the defensive line scares me in this game because it's Howell taking sacks against Jalen Carter and the Avengers of the Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah. But I don't think offensively Philadelphia is good enough to go ahead and run away with this game. Like, I still have question marks. The Eagles haven't put a game together. Maybe this is the day that they do it, but they haven't put a game together at all this season. I think we're going to come out of this saying that Philadelphia I'm not sure. I think the Niners are on a tier above everyone else in the NFC right now. And the Eagles are closer to the Cowboys than they are to the 49ers.
I don't think it's a good spot for the Eagles. Short week and the humidity and they're I think it's a good spot for taking more than a touchdown.
So. 100%.
But I'm concerned the last time you sprinkled a little on the money line, it was on the Giants on the opening Sunday night.
Hey, that was 3.5. We just need the Commanders to stay within a touchdown. Yeah. We just need to stay within a touchdown. That does it for us here on a Football Friday on the Lombardi Line. For Mike Palm, for Mike Pritchard, for our producer Elliot Bowman, the entire crew behind the glass, I'm Femi Benfei, wishing you guys the best of luck. Sharp Money is coming up next here on the Sports Betting Network.